How many are glad that the crimson stream of blood that flows from Calvary sends waves of grace and mercy that touch the throne of God? Come on, how many are glad? If it wasn't for Jesus, not a one of us would be here today. But we've gathered together in this place to His throne to worship Him because He's washed us clean by His blood. Not a one of us in this room deserves to be here. We get to be here by the grace of God. I see a crimson stream of blood. You know, when you were kids and also just even in your own lives, did you ever get new clothes? I should get a couple of answers. No, I was a pauper. I had to wear jeans with 14 holes. We only wore those because we wanted to, right? But we got new clothes. And as a little kid especially, what's the first thing you did with them? Got them dirty. Some of you are looking quite ashamed right now. Don't be ashamed. We did it. Did you ever have your parents say to you, now, don't go into the mud puddles? What'd you do as a little kid? Go right into the mud puddles. Now, you know, I am so grateful, as you know, to be married to Pastor Sherry. But I spent quite a number of years by myself. Now, I spent quite a number of years. And I did the washing of my clothes. And I did the washing of my clothes before I married Gail. And I'm a pragmatic guy. So as a guy, there were three loads of laundry that I did. There was the whites. There was the non-whites. There was the towels. Come on, guys, isn't that true? Oh, okay, two guys in the room are honest with me. But then you come into married life and you learn a better way. There are 14 loads that need to be done. And this kind of white goes over here, and this kind of white goes over here, and you mix these up, and you don't end up with good whites, you end up with bad whites, and these darks don't go, and these towels certainly don't go with those. And you go, wait a minute, I was a pragmatic guy, and it took me a lot less time than this. Actually, thank you, Sherry, Pastor Sherry, for always doing those. Thank you. But, you know, how many wives in this room would say with me that how you wash is really important? Okay, guys, you think that too? All right, yeah, all right, guys, you think too. Now, wives are looking at the guys going, what do you know about it? How you wash is really important. And we live in a world where every day we see things we shouldn't. We hear things we shouldn't. We watch or read things we shouldn't. And you know what it does? It soils our spirit. It soils our heart. And so consequently, sometimes we wonder why we don't hear from God the way we should. I see a crimson stream of blood. Because we get to be washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Turn to each other and say, you get to be washed by the blood of Jesus. Now I'm going to tell you a unique story this morning. A story of instruction from God and how to get and keep the people clean. Because God requires holiness, purity. How many have ever heard of the red heifer? Few of you. The red heifer. Now, let me just tell you, if somebody asks you, are you saved? What's your answer? Yes. By the grace of God, right? Yes. And then if they ask you, what is salvation? Is it only just your initial getting saved? No, there's a full perspective of salvation. We get saved. Justification, we have initial salvation where we surrender to the Lord and we receive Him and we give to Jesus the ownership of our lives. How many have transferred the ownership of your life to Jesus? He owns you. He's in charge. So we have initial salvation where we get saved. Then we, folks, are being saved. And that's the process of ongoing salvation, or what we call what? Sanctification, being sanctified. He is making me, transforming me into being more like Jesus. He's changing my mind. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. But how many know that's not 24/7? He's changing us. So there's an ongoing process, and we will be saved in the future. Salvation, that's called glorification. Transformed in the twinkling of an eye, and we get to heaven. We're not going to have to worry about that old junk and gunk. It's under the blood of Jesus, and Jesus says, welcome home. You walked and you swam in the crimson stream of blood. But I want you to know, we have to talk about it. We have to admit it. God is not casual about our lives. We don't give our life to Jesus and catch a little forgiveness and then go our own way. No, it is a full-hearted, full surrender to Jesus where He is it. King of kings, Lord of lords. We give our lives to Him and we say, Lord, I surrender. I don't own myself. I don't get to go casually down the road now. I want to be on your road, going where you go, doing what you want me to do, hearing what you want me to hear, seeing and saying what you want me to do. And I want to be, Lord Jesus, just like you. Come on, does that burn in your soul this morning? I want to be, Lord, just like you. Sin taints. When we sin, you understand, death enters because of sin. The Bible says the life is in the blood. So instead of you and me having to die, in the Old Testament, an animal had to die because life was in the blood. Life had to be shed. A death had to occur in the Old Testament to cover over our sin. In the New Testament, it's a different story, but it's still blood that's required. But holiness, see, the Bible says, pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. How many want to see Jesus? Yes. Pursue holiness. Ephesians 5, just as Christ also loved the church. That instruction is husbands love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church. And what did He do? He gave Himself for her, the church, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. So, therefore, we say, okay, then cleansing, purification, being holy, it's important to God. How do we do it? What does His Word tell us? Now, you understand, you're looking at a perfect example of when you give your life to Jesus, you aren't instantly perfect. Right? Now you get to turn to each other one more time here this morning, look at each other and say, neither are you. But we deal seriously if we sin. If we sin. If we sin. The Bible doesn't write to non-Christians only with that verse, but the Bible says if you sin, what? You have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He came for you and me. We still have issues. But I want you to go, turn in your Bible, please. Yes, it's going to be here, up on the screen. But I want you, if you have a Bible, if you don't, we'll get you one. But I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 19. Numbers chapter 19, and I'm going to do my best to go quickly through this because it's an important story in the Bible. And it looks like it's kind of got twists and turns and hard parts to understand, but it actually has a powerful impact for our lives. And we're going to talk about the red heifer. Numbers chapter 19. And in this chapter, God makes provision for purification, and the whole perspective is especially if you have come into contact with the dead. All right? people would die. Now, by the way, let me just tell you a little difference. God marked his people differently than the people of Egypt. In Egypt, someone would die. They held onto the bodies. They did mummification, etc., etc., etc. But you read in the Old Testament and in the valuation God puts on life, all of life is geared toward life. And if somebody died, God's command was get the dead body away from the camp, burial away from the camp, because God didn't want to contagion loose in the camp that would create a defilement or even a disease scenario. God required it to be taken care of immediately. Burial was very quickly. They would travel with graves clothes and different strips of cloth and things that they would do. Remember, point in case was, remember Rachel's tomb? Rachel was buried where she died. They didn't get to carry her back to other places. Now, there were some. You see, Joseph, you see, the patriarchs were taken back to the cave. But remember, where was Joseph when he died? He was embalmed in Egypt, but he gave instructions regarding his bones, take him back to the cave. But typically, there was a difference between how God wanted his people to handle people who died, etc. If you died and they found you in a tent, the tent was unclean, the person who touched the body was unclean, and all of this would take place. And there was a reason. And there was a prescribed direction of what had to happen. People have wandered now, by the time we get to Numbers 19, in the wilderness for 40 years. Miriam soon will pass away. Here's your context for where you are. As will Aaron and Moses, if you remember. And they all came into constant soiling, if you will. And you can imagine with as many people as were traveling in the wilderness, and remember what God said would happen, that old generation that didn't believe God would what? Pass away. So they had constantly to deal with this kind of a situation, and they'd go into a new land that God was getting ready to have them come in. And so he gave a provision called the red heifer. The Bible in chapter 19, let me just read some verses very quickly. This is the ordinance, verse 2, 19 verse 2. The ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, speak to the children of Israel. They bring you a red heifer, important, without blemish, in which there's no defect and on which a yoke has never come. Verse 3, you'll give it to Eleazar the priest that he may take it outside the camp, and it shall be slaughtered before him. Eleazar the priest shall take some of the blood with his finger, and sprinkle some of the blood seven times directly in front of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the heifer shall be burned in its sight, in his sight. Its hide, flesh, blood, offal shall be burned. Verse 7, there's a phrase there. The priest shall wash, and the priest shall be unclean. Verse 8, the one who burns it shall wash his clothes, shall be unclean until the evening. Verse 9, then a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and store them outside the camp in a clean place. They shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel, for the water of purification. It's for purifying. It's for what? It's for purifying from sin. And the one who gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes. He shall be unclean until the evening. It shall be a statute. Verse 10 says, forever to the children of Israel and to the stranger who sojourns among them. To the children of Israel as well as to the stranger. Now, this section I don't have written up here. I'm just going to highlight a few verses. He who touches the dead body of anyone shall be unclean. Verse 13, whoever touches the body of anyone who has died, who does not purify himself, defiles the tabernacle of the Lord, that person shall be cut off from Israel, unclean, because the water of purification was not sprinkled on him. His uncleanness is still in him. Verse 20, but the man who is unclean and does not purify himself, the man who is unclean and does not purify himself, that person shall be cut off from among the congregation because he has defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of purification has not been sprinkled on him. He is unclean. Now, verse 21, one phrase. It shall be a perpetual statute, a forever thing. And how you deal with sin and uncleanness is important to God. Now notice, I just want you to understand, we're a family. We thank God for grace and we thank God for the crimson stream of blood. But we do need to realize that the principle that is true is what happens in me that I don't deal with before the Lord impacts you. When I come into the house of God, if I haven't dealt with my own life, now that doesn't mean you stay home because you're not perfect. That's not what I'm saying. But if I don't say, Lord, you know, I'm going to the house of God this morning and I want to bless the people of God and I want to strengthen my family in the Lord. I want to encourage people. So I know I did this and this. Forgive me. Wash me clean by the what? By the blood of Jesus. Wash me clean. And so when I go in, let me impart your life and blessing and strength to one another. And I don't go in to cause somebody to stumble. I go in to cause people to grow. How many want to help one another grow in the Lord? That's what we're here to do. And so this whole process was the red heifer without blemish, never yoked. That means it wasn't put under lock and key, if you will, to go work hard. It wasn't forced to work hard. Was slaughtered where? Where was it slaughtered? Outside the camp. I nearly called this message outside the camp. Eliezer dips his finger in the blood. He sprinkles it seven times toward the sanctuary. The heifer was completely burned up. Then a clean person would gather the ashes and put them away for those people who need it. And they would put running water on it and they would sprinkle this substance on people and on the tent and all to take care of death. And the uncleanness that comes about by death. Wow. By the way, a few interesting thoughts for you. They say that throughout history, only 9 red heifers were ever slaughtered. That's how long the ashes would last. And they say even today in Israel that the 10th red heifer will be found when the Messiah's reign begins. They were used in temple service, the ashes. And they say, commentaries, I spent a lot of time on this week because it's important for our understanding. Commentaries say that when the Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, that they took, a priest took the ashes of the red heifer and put them away for safekeeping. Now, how many remember the Dead Sea Scrolls that were found about 1947, I think it was, in caves? There was also a third scroll found. There were 2 scrolls of Isaiah, wonderfully preserved, earlier than any of our other manuscripts, that totally confirmed the Bible. And then there was a third scroll called the Copper Scroll. And they would cut off pieces of that and they finally could read it. But it was so brittle they had to take special care of it. But there's indication that a lot of other things were buried and preserved. Now, 100 years later, or in the next century or so, Israel rose up again after the 70 AD destruction. And Rome quashed it by literally decimating Israel's Jerusalem. And they built a temple to Jupiter and another Roman city right on top of it. And that lasted until like maybe 300-400 years until the Christians took it over. And they destroyed that temple and it was left in decay. And then it sat still in Jerusalem until the Turks and the Muslims took it over. Now you see the Dome of the Rock and the mosque where the temple used to be. By the way, this is really cool. The only people on the face of the earth who really kept their identity as a people group, no matter where they went far and wide, were the Jews, were the Israels, were the Hebrews. They kept their identity as the people of God. Were they perfect? No. Do they need to get saved by Jesus? Absolutely. But they kept their people identity. And then, 1948, the Bible says a verse was fulfilled. He'll make a nation in a day. And he rebirthed the nation of Israel. And this year we're celebrating the 70th anniversary. I think that's pretty cool. We have seen prophecy fulfilled in our generation. Now watch. Without blemish. Never yoked. Slaughtered outside the camp. And they say now that finding these ashes would literally be a near impossibility. Those of you who are prophecy watchers, keep an ear out if they find a red heifer. I'm serious. Because they say the red heifer the ashes will be used again in temple service. And the scripture does indicate a third temple being built. And this, now I'm just sending you off on searches if you want in your own commentaries. But the third temple, they say it'll be built. Now some say the Holy of Holies is still there in the Dome of the Rock, and the Muslim mosque is built right there. And if they try to tear that down, it'll create an international war. There are other commentaries that say, no, those current buildings are actually built where the huge court of the Gentiles was. And there's space right over by it where the temple actually was, where a new temple could be built. All I'm telling you, keep an eye out for whatever may happen. They have thought, they found red heifers born. And listen, just real quick, and then I'm going to move on. Do you realize that they will, if there's a red heifer, or they think there's a red heifer, and there's red kind of Angus in the United States, and they're trying to start up tribes to bring the red heifers back to Israel, but even if there were two hairs of a different color found on that heifer, it was disqualified and would not be allowed because the heifer had to be pure. And they don't think they can necessarily be pure if they don't find a perfect red heifer. It has to be perfect. Completely pure and clean. Not sacrificed in the temple, but sacrificed outside the walls. The blood is sprinkled toward the temple. It's destroyed and burned up. Perfect blood to wash away sin. Let's go. Jesus is everything we need. Come on, say that with me. Jesus is everything we need. God is exact. He's not casual about life, death, eternity, yours or mine, or our souls. And that's why Jesus came. The need is great. And only a perfect lamb, only a perfect sacrifice, only perfect blood could be the remedy. And there's only one. His name is Jesus. Now watch the scripture. Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 4. Watch this. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, the law was a picture for us, and not the very image of the things, can never, with the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, can never make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins every year. Listen, the Old Testament, the purification rites, everything they did, there still was a reminder of sins every year. Verse 4, read it with me, please. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Not a scapegoat sent into the wilderness bearing the sin, not a red heifer. Nothing could take away sins. It wasn't a good enough system. It was okay. But Jesus looked down the corridor of time. God looked down the corridor of time. When Adam fell in the garden, there's a whole picture of restoration. And God says, I'm on the throne. I'll get this taken care of. So Jesus came at just the perfect time for you and for me. If you have your Bible, open them to Hebrews chapter 10. I want you to see these verses there and put a ribbon in your Bible there at that point. And if you don't, no problem. It'll be right up here on the screen. But remember Hebrews 10, because we're going to read a few more scriptures out of Hebrews 10 that I think are just crucial for us in our understanding. Verses 12 through 14. Hebrews 10, 12 through 14. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice, how many sacrifices did Jesus have to offer? One. Come on, church, how many?
One.
One sacrifice for sins for how long?
Forever.
Come on, it says forever. And with the red heifer rite of purification, it said, this has got to happen forever. What's got to happen forever? There's got to be a pure people who are clean, who can approach God. This is a perpetual generation. Whether you're from Israel or not, it's for one law, for the stranger and for those of the nation. It's purification, but it could not take away sin. And the Bible says, it's not possible that the blood of boats, of bulls and goats could even do that. It's not a workable solution. The clothes don't come out quite clean. Have you ever had a time where you put laundry load in and you go away and forget it? And then you have to wash them again. Come on, ever had that? And then you forget it again and you have to wash them again. I would do that over and over. I only had three loads. I'm pragmatic, but boy, I had to wash them a lot. Because they didn't come out quite clean. And if I wore what came out of there after sitting in there for a long time, you could walk up and go, another load needed, huh? But how often did they have to go back and back and wash again? Well, when we need to do that, we get to come back to the Lamb of God, to the King of Kings, and see and receive the crimson stream of blood. Hebrews 10, 12 through 14. This man, I'm going to read it again. After he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, and from that time waiting till his enemies were made his footstool. For by, say it with me please, one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Ta-da! Fanfare! Pastor Kev, I'm not perfect. No, but he's made the way for you and me, perfect in his sight by grace, and changing, ever changing, also by his grace. The answer to every sin problem, church, is Jesus. Come on, say it with me. The answer to every sin problem is Jesus. Come on, Kev, you talk about Jesus too much. He's all there is to talk about. He's all that's really important to talk about. Everything else, there's good important things. We could talk all day long, but I'll tell you what, the most important thing we can ever talk about is Jesus. See the picture. Now, interestingly, you will find commentaries that say, now just stick in there. Commentaries that say Jesus was crucified on the Mount of Olives, because that's where the scapegoat was released, and that's also where the red heifer was. Oh, wait a minute, there's the place of the skull, Golgotha. Nobody really knows. We'll find out someday. The most important part is not where, but what happened. And the reason this is an important picture is, on the Mount of Olives, when the red heifer was sacrificed, they say they could see right down into the temple. And when they spread the blood toward the temple, how many know what the number 7 means? Bible number. There's a meaning to the numbers in Scripture, and 7 is completion, perfection. So perfection of redemption comes from the blood of Jesus. There is no other sacrifice for sin, only Jesus. I guess I'm here to tell you this morning, you can work as hard as you can, and if you are, you're going to be left condemned in your heart of hearts. Whether you ever let anybody else know, you'll never feel good enough, because only Jesus shed his blood to fully help us remove those sins. He sprinkled the blood. He was crucified outside the walls. Oh, there's so much, church. There's so much. And these next couple of weeks, we get to celebrate it. But they took him outside the walls. The red heifer was the only sacrifice that didn't happen actually right there in the temple. Took it outside the walls because it was unclean. Jesus, let me just say this, became unclean for you and for me. When he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? It is indeed a messianic prophecy or a messianic fulfillment of Psalms. And he's identifying who he is. But there was a real legitimate sign and sense of he was separated from God. Why have you forsaken me? And the issue is our sins separate us from God. And he took them all on himself. In fact, he didn't just take your sins. Do you know what the Bible says? He became sin for you and for me so he could deal with it all. And God allowed it for you and for me. Come on, raise your hands. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. That means in Jesus, washed by his blood, we are clean. And we can come boldly to him for help. In need, times of need, his blood washes us and completely cleanses us, and we can be washed every day by the blood of Jesus. You got a troubled mind here this morning? Lay hands on your own head and say, I claim the blood of Jesus over my conscience and my subconscious. You're troubled in your soul or demonic attack. Say to the enemy, get out in Jesus' name. I proclaim the blood in the name of Jesus over me. You have trouble in your home? Walk in and proclaim the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. Lay hands on your walls with the oil of anointing and claim the blood of Jesus over the place. The old-fashioned preachers used to say, claim the blood of Jesus. That's not old-fashioned preaching. That's Bible preaching. And we need to claim the blood of Jesus every single day. Since there's only one authority that matters, and his name is Jesus. Verses 19 through 23, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. How? By the what? Come on, say it. By the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Say it with me, without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful. We're in the last couple of weeks prior to what we celebrate as Resurrection Sunday, but I want you to know every single day, you don't have to wait for Resurrection Sunday to proclaim and love and appreciate and release the power of the blood of Jesus in our lives. To wash, to be clean, be strengthened. And Jesus is your avenue of boldness in relationship with God every single day. Jesus died and fulfilled the red heifer. He was completely clean, completely pure. He voluntarily did this. There was never a yoke put on him by employment. It was what he voluntarily chose. And he was burned or destroyed outside the camp. And the blood was shed for Israel, for Gentiles, for the whole world. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Claim, apply, receive, thank God for the blood of Jesus. How rich and how powerful he is. 1 John 2:1, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Hallelujah! Yeah. Listen to what the Bible says, Revelation 12:11. They overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to the death. Oh, church, there is power in the blood. Power in the blood of Jesus, who fulfilled the calling of being the red heifer. If you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I pray that you will do so today. We'll be up here to help you give your life to Jesus. If you have already, then when you go today, go with a great spirit of rejoicing, because this is what Jesus did for you and for me. How many are glad? Yes. Hopefully he turned on the switch a little more for you this morning. Maybe you hadn't heard about the red heifer. It's kind of a fun little story, isn't it? Life-changing when you see what Jesus did, isn't it?